I'm Rick Ruan here with Mark Farinchek, and we're going to talk about the news that has set the scooter world on fire this morning here in Columbus. At 11:03 a.m., the city's Department of Public Service issued a press release with the headline, City of Columbus puts in place beginnings of regulations on shared mobility devices. For the uninitiated, a shared mobility device in this case means the motorized scooters that you've seen all over town, most of them downtown and in the surrounding neighborhoods.
Yes.
You see people on sidewalks flying past you. You see them riding in traffic.
Against
traffic. In bike lanes, going the right way, going the wrong way. They've really been all over the place over the last, 6 weeks or so, Mark?
At least 6 weeks, something like that. And again, helmets, no helmets, tutu, a scooter, who knows what else is going on and off campus since they introduced them up there too.
Right. And so the city, they started looking at this almost immediately. The scooters just appeared sort of overnight on sidewalks, and city officials got together. The Department of Public Service was the one kind of leading the effort, and they brought in a bunch of other different departments, public safety and others, to look at what they should be doing. And the regulations released today primarily deal with what they would say is storage of the scooters rather than operation of the scooters. So they're kind of looking at where they need to stand in the right of way and where they can be within the city. So they're also going to require permitting by the companies and limit the number of scooters per company
to 500, which seems to be a lot, especially since they're limiting the number of companies to up to 8.
Right.
So at least off the bat, that could be 4,000 scooters mm-hmm. around town. But that number of scooters can change, though, over time, correct?
That's right. So the actual rules and regulations give the director of the Department of Public Service the discretion to either lower that number from 500 or raise it depending on the situation. So there will be some opportunity there for the city to kind of take a look at the situation, and it's not hugely prescriptive. But Mark, what's your kind of feeling on how significant this is today? I know it's they're saying the beginnings of regulations. The press release indicates that more is to come on this. In fact, it says the Ginther administration, Mayor Andrew Ginther, will be drafting legislation in the near future that will look at the operation of shared mobility devices.
I mean, it's significant because a lot of other cities across the country, once Bird or Lime or anybody else has deposited scooters on the street, they've been issued cease and desist orders saying, you just can't do that. We have no idea what these are going to do, what they mean, how to regulate them. So give us some time to develop regulations, and then you can bring them back. I think the interesting thing, one thing that'll be interesting, is if they're going to regulate the number of scooters, both Lime and Bird and whoever else comes in, but right now Lime and Bird, I'd be interested to see how many have been placed in town already, because I think we've noticed and other people have noticed that they are all over the place, downtown, surrounding neighborhoods. Lots of people are riding them. Lots of people like them. Once it goes to city council, how much pushback are they going to get from people who really have taken to these? How many people who have been really annoyed by them or think they're dangerous will support whatever measures they are, and they might want something more than this. I know that you and I had talked about briefly before coming down here. One of the interesting things about this that some people might wonder about is that it talks about devices, scooters offered in neighborhoods outside the central business district, which is fine, but they must be capable of use without a credit card. I would be very curious to see how that's going to work, because I don't know if there are any other cities in the country that have anything like this, and what ideas the city might have, and if scooter companies are going to balk saying, we don't equip them like this, so you're adding cost to it. Maybe we're just going to pull out or reduce the number. Who knows?
To be clear, if you aren't familiar with how the scooters work, you download a smartphone app and you register your credit card with the smartphone app. And when you approach one of the scooters, it brings up essentially a scanner on the camera through your cell phone. You scan a QR code on the scooter, and that unlocks it, and then your credit card is charged for how long you use the scooter. It's based on the amount of time. So it's kind of hard to see right now how that system can work without linking a credit card to it. Now, there is an indication within the rules and regulations that what the city is going for here is that they want this form of transportation to be linked to the all transit pass that Smart Columbus is developing, which is a common payment system that could be used across transportation options. We're talking CODA, Uber, Lyft. Mark, you've written about exactly. That. Can you explain a little bit more about what
so
that looks like?
They're talking about so you can have one app, one payment where you can plan a trip. Smart Columbus basically will help you plan a trip. And then you can say, I'm going to take a CODA bus here. I'm going to get off here and take an Uber 5 blocks because I don't feel like walking, and then take a scooter 2 more blocks. And then I can pay for that all at once. That's a good option. I would guess, having not talked to the city, that the reason they're talking about an option other than a credit card is that people don't have credit cards. They don't have bank accounts. They have cash to use. I'm trying to think of how a scooter fare box would work, but that might be kind of interesting if you're jangling along the sidewalk, hitting bumps and stuff like that. But the thing is, in this town, it seems like, especially with a younger population, they've become very popular. And I presume that there will be some riders if they start to limit operations on how you can use the scooters, will balk at that and will push the envelope on that. So it'll be interesting to see how the city deals with that while trying to present an image as a welcoming city for young people without, again, impinging on their lifestyles too much.
Sure. In terms of being welcoming, Columbus, as we wrote about just not too long ago, has been, when you look at the landscape of cities across the country and how they've reacted to the scooters, I think it's fair to say that Columbus has been pretty welcoming.
Very welcoming.
To this point, we've seen plenty of cities that have immediately said, no, you can't operate here until we figure out what the regulations are, or you just can't operate here, period. Columbus has kind of let them operate unregulated to this point. But they are saying now that if the scooter companies, Lime and Bird, do not comply with these regulations that they've put out, that they have the authority to go and round up their scooters, impound them, and tell the company, come get your property.
And that's what Bexley and Upper Arlington have done. When they dropped them on in Bexley, when Bird did, the first day that they did that in Columbus as well, Bexley rounded them up immediately and went to the police station and sent them all there. Same thing in Upper Arlington. And again, those are two other places that we'll have to keep an eye on to see how they might develop rules and regs too. As these become more popular, if they continue to make money at this, I presume they will try to introduce more scooters to more communities around the Columbus area. And Columbus may be setting the tone for how to deal with these. Some communities may be a little bit more restrictive, but Columbus is probably going to have a big say as to how the rest of the community relates to these, I would think.
You know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see, as these rules and regulations are put into place, how these companies deal with the requirement that the city is now putting on them, that only a certain proportion of those can be in the central business district. Certainly, we have seen downtown here lots of scooters. You walk out the front door of the dispatch here on Broad Street and you look left and right and you're going to see a scooter, whether it's standing on the sidewalk or somebody's riding it past you.
And the interesting thing too, it's on the weekends too, you know.
Absolutely.
as people aren't working down here, but there are a lot of people who live and go to the places on South 4th Street or in the Arena District or whatnot, and there are people riding scooters all the time.
I saw them on Saturday. I worked our night shift on this past Saturday, and when I walked out the door to go to an assignment, I saw bunches of people on scooters. But the city is saying that they don't want these concentrated just in the central business district.
Right.
They're saying that if you're going to come into Columbus and offer this transportation option, it has to be a transportation option for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they want you to offer these in disadvantaged neighborhoods as well. They call them the opportunity neighborhoods. They're the neighborhoods that the mayor's office has identified largely by infant mortality rate, but those have also become sort of adopted as the target neighborhoods for a lot of city programs, and that's going to be the case with this as well. They want to see those bikes distributed there, and they're going to require these companies to provide data, lots of data, to check on them to make sure that they're following through on that.
And it'll be interesting to see when, and again, to talk to officials about this more, is that I presume they want scooters in these neighborhoods to offer to people who are there who otherwise might not have them around, but also are they also trying to attract newcomers to these neighborhoods to buy houses, to rent, to invest in businesses, to say there are scooters here like the Short North and Clintonville and other more expensive neighborhoods. But if you come here, you'll still have the same opportunity to use this transportation too and get, you know, see some of the other amenities around here. So it might be a development type of tool as well.
It's interesting because the scooters have been really, from what I can tell, pretty concentrated in the center of the city. But what really got this started was Lime Bike.
Yes.
When they initially came in, Lime did not have scooters. They started with just your normal two-wheel pedal bike.
And they were, that was up in Dublin and Worthington first.
Dublin and Worthington first, but as they came into Columbus, where you've really seen them concentrated is along Cleveland Avenue going through Linden. And I'm not sure, I don't think we have a lot of data or information to say how that has gone over in those neighborhoods, but Linden is certainly one of the opportunity neighborhoods where the city wants to see these scooters offered as well. Would be curious to know how the bikes went over at first.
And that's just it. You know, these are private companies. I don't know how easy it's going to be to get data from them, at least until this legislation, as to how they're working. Again, in Linden, it's interesting because Lime is concentrating the placement of their bikes around bus stops. They know that people are going to get off the bus and ride them home, or reverse, you ride a mile to the bus stop. So this is a strategy that they're using there. I presume they'll do the same things with scooters in these neighborhoods as well. And hopefully we will be able to get access to data to see how well they're being used, where they're being used, and how much they're being used.
Right. So the takeaway from today is that the city has put out these regulations largely dealing with the storage of the scooters. The regulations say that the devices must be parked in an upright position and cannot be parked in the vehicle portions of the street, including parking spots and loading zones. They can't be parked in doorways or block pedestrians on sidewalks or curb ramps, fire escapes, inside bus shelters and driveways, or on unauthorized private property or unapproved non-public spaces. They're basically saying they can be parked in the right of way. They just can't be in the way. They can't obstruct pedestrians. They can't obstruct cars. They can't obstruct buses or wheelchairs or people trying to use sidewalks in the normal course of how somebody would use a sidewalk. And going forward here, the city is going to take a closer look at the operation of these scooters. If there's ever going to be something that says that you cannot operate one of these scooters on a sidewalk, that's going to require a change in the city code, which requires a vote of city council. These regulations today did not require that. They're a directive from the city administration. They're rules and regulation, not ordinances. So that is where we stand today.
That is correct.
That's all we have for you. Thanks for listening, and please check back with dispatch.com and our print paper for more details on today's developments and more scooter news in the future.
Much more scooter news in the future.
Thanks, Mark.